Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going in Raw Weekly. This is the one without our good friend, Mr. Dan Nerd Cubed. He doesn't do the weeklies. We do the weeklies.
Yeah, it's a little late this week, though.
And then, yeah, a little bit. We're figuring things out.
Yeah, this is all still an experiment. Try to figure out what works best. Not just for us, but for the audience and all that kind of good stuff.
Exactamundo. Let's see. On this week's episode, we're going to talk a little bit of Daniel Bryan. We're going to talk a little bit of the WWE legalities with Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin. And in our, what is this one called? Gorilla position.
Yeah.
We're going to talk the most extreme wrestler of all time.
Yeah, since Extreme Rules is coming up.
Extreme Rules is coming up.
And you won't see any of the stuff done by these people in a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules.
There is, looks like you did some research. I'm looking at the notes. I see one name here that I've never heard of before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with his work somewhat, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
We'll get that in a little bit. First of all, though, in current events... Oh, wait, Raw notes is later.
Yeah.
First off, we're going to talk about Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, he's hurt.
He's a personal favorite of both of ours.
Yeah.
So it's disheartening to understand that, I guess, whatever acupuncture treatment he received while he was hurt last year, apparently is not working.
Yeah.
And he's hurt. He's injured.
Yeah, and apparently it's bad enough for they were protecting him in six-man tag matches, and then he wasn't on Raw, and then now he's pulled off the European tour entirely.
I saw him. He was on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
In a tag team match with Cena against Cesaro and Kid.
But he just came in at the end, right?
I didn't. I watched up until Neville and Sheamus, and then I had to go.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't, and I don't record things anymore because I don't have cable. I just get on the internet.
Yeah.
And I watch the stream from Xfinity using my dad's email address.
Probably shouldn't say that.
I wonder what they'd do if they found out.
I don't know.
They'd probably kill me and then bury the evidence.
No, I don't think they would do that.
I think they can do that.
I don't think they can.
They could, though. They have the capabilities.
Well, but they still won't. And they still can't.
This is really sad.
I know. I feel really bad for the guy.
It is. It's difficult to. If I knew, like, if the dirt sheets and whatnot gave us the information that he was totally healthy and he made, like, you know, a miraculous recovery,
mm-hmm.
then I would enjoy watching him. It's hard to enjoy it these days, though.
Yeah.
Because he does still go pretty hard. I mean, I know now in the six-man tag match, it's kind of obvious he doesn't. But for a while there, he was going as hard as he ever did before.
Yeah, he just didn't do the flying headbutt, I don't remember.
Right.
When
right.
he came back, I don't think he did that anymore. But apart from that, his entire repertoire seemed to be unchanged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's a and but so it hurts kind of to watch him because he's one of those guys. His appeal, obviously, throughout the last couple of years, is he's an everyman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that we all relate to and we all kind of want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's just a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that sort of accentuates the fact that when you watch him go now, it just you kind of hurt.
Yeah.
It's like he reminds me, and it's not because he reminds me of myself or I identify with him, but it reminds me of when I used to watch Yao Ming. I saw a Houston Rockets Kings game live once,
mm-hmm.
and I had Hilton tickets, so I was at pretty good seats. And Yao Ming, it hurt to watch him run.
Yeah.
Because he was so tall, and those legs looked like they were going to collapse under him at any moment.
Yeah.
And watching Daniel Bryan go is kind of the same way. Like, it just, like, whenever he does anything that's sort of just like a regular, like a back bump,
mm-hmm.
Looks like it hurts.
Yeah, whenever he sells the neck, you never know whether that's
right.
legitimate or if he's just selling. So.
The match last week, and it was effective, but the match he had against Sheamus, I think, last week on Raw or 2 mm-hmm. weeks ago, whatever it was, and then when he got the bullhammer
mm-hmm.
from Wade Barrett, that was hard to watch because they looked like they were going stiff.
Yeah.
And, in fact, there were, like, reports. I think people were giving Sheamus shit online
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, they were.
For being stiff, and
yeah.
I mean that's their business. I don't know what happens there, but that was hard to watch too.
Yeah, I mean even Bryan's match with Roman Reigns at Fastlane, they were both working really stiff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if he's the kind of guy who can just change his game. You know, I think he's just. Or if it'll help. You know.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess it depends. You know, when he was hurt initially, you know, the reports came out that it was a neck injury,
mm-hmm.
and then. But how it affected his arm was always I've heard differing stories because one of the stories was that it was shit. I think that he needed Tommy John surgery, which isn't a nerve issue; it's a tendon issue or ligament issue. Sorry, but then on Total Divas, they said they had to do surgery on his elbow to free his nerve from some sort of muscle tightness or something.
Jeez!
But since it's on Total Divas, I don't know how much to really believe it.
Right. Right. Well, it's on Total Divas. Do you think, hold on a second, do you think that Total Divas would fabricate a medical condition for the storyline?
Have you seen Total Divas?
I mean, I'm not saying it's not above them. I'm saying, could you, like, because you seem to watch it, would it have, like, helped their storyline at all to make it one injury, not another?
In this case, probably not. But I don't. Okay. I don't know if they. I think the only reason they would kind of not be entirely truthful about the nature of the injury is to downplay its seriousness, maybe.
Yeah. What's the latest on Tyson Kidd and Natalya being married and siblings?
Well, they're not siblings, first of all.
Very confusing to me.
I believe whatever marital strife is going on Total Divas. I don't know. I'm guessing that's largely fabricated too.
I love Natalya. She's a close second to me in terms of divas that I enjoy watching.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good little wrestler,
mm-hmm.
and I like her later. Like the outfit she's been wearing since WrestleMania, it makes her look kind of like a badass, like witch lady. I don't know, something it about it. It's very theatrical, and I like that.
The heel Natalya just wears a bunch of black leather.
I know it's rad, but she has that pink, like the heart, you know, the heart colors, the like, sort of flare, like the little feather boa thing, mini boa.
Well, she's got she dyed her hair pink too.
I think she's too good for Tyson Kidd. She makes a really good looking valet though.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're a good looking, that's a good looking trio there when they come out with all their swagger and whatnot. They're a really good heel, like little faction there. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I like them. They deserve to be in the main event. I'm glad they put them in the main event at SmackDown.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a main event. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. It was Daniel Bryan and Cena versus them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good match.
And then I read some report that like a couple of UK comedians, because they're in the United Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Bum rushed the ring
and started doing some moves.
Yeah.
And they're like Radio Shock Jocks or comedians. I don't know, some shit like that.
Yeah.
It's annoying. Let's see here. So that begs the question, though. A, short term,
yes.
Extreme Rules. Is he still going to be fighting Wade Barrett? Bad news, Barrett.
I wouldn't be surprised if the match happens and they run an injury angle in the match, like either Barrett or a combination of Barrett and Sheamus just beat the hell out of him and they can write him off TV.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Bad news, Barrett's going to be your IC champion again. Ha ha.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it made me so happy.
I know.
Love Barrett. But if you want, but I'll be honest though, if you want to legitimize the belt, bad news, Barrett's not the way to do it.
Not the man to hold it, no.
I will say this though, I'm still not a fan necessarily, but I've been impressed with Sheamus' booking lately.
Yeah.
I've been okay with it because they're making him just an asshole.
Yeah.
Anytime you just make somebody an asshole who can beat people up, I'm probably going to be on board with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he's okay.
I like his new look too.
No, I don't like the look though.
I like it much better than it was before though.
No, I don't like. I don't like the beard braids. I can't stand that.
They look so ratty. They look so gross.
Exactly.
Like
they look
the entire thing looks glued on. I think that's kind of why I like it, because he's so ugly. And then the crowd starts chanting, "You look stupid."
Yeah,
because he does. I don't know. I'm kind of on the Sheamus. I'm on board with Sheamus these days. I'm fine with saying that. I like Barrett and I like Sheamus.
You used to be a huge Sheamus.
I was never a huge Sheamus
fan. Yeah, you were.
Fan.
You used to love
I liked Sheamus for a half second. I was never a huge Sheamus fan.
You were a huge Sheamus fan.
I'm just as much a fan of Sheamus now as I was back then. Although inexplicably, I have his theme song. I think I paid for his theme
song.
Yeah,
like I
said. I
don't
know why I would have ever done that. That's
because
weird.
You're a huge Sheamus fan.
It's a dollar that I spent on that. What a bummer. Let's see here.
But also,
I need to buy Rollins' theme song.
Do you think the future may hold for Daniel Bryan's career?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. He doesn't have a future.
Oh, man.
Unless he gets surgery or figures it out. Like, I mean, I know. I think that's the storyline in Total Divas, from what I heard, was Cena mocked him because Daniel Bryan wasn't getting surgery. He was getting acupuncture.
Yeah. Well, it was something a little bit more than acupuncture, but yeah, it wasn't surgery.
Right. It was just treatment.
Yeah.
It wasn't surgery. So hopefully you know, I don't care if the dude's out for a year rehabbing. I mean, Triple H famously was sort of out for 8 months while when he tore the shit out of his quad.
Mm.
And he came back and, you know, he I don't think ever really got hurt. But like, he wasn't out again for extended periods of time, I don't think.
Didn't he tear his quad twice?
Oh, did he do it again?
I think so.
You're thinking of Kevin Nash.
Well, I know Kevin Nash did. He's hurt his legs about 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Triple H hurt his legs again after that one.
It's possible. I don't know. I just remember that he came back to big fanfare, and I think the same will go for Daniel. If it's the, I'm no medical technician, so I don't know if he gets surgery. If that's the end game cure, that he'll be fine after that for that particular injury. If he gets surgery for it, he'll be fine. Then I'm all for it if it means he's out for a year. I don't really care. I just want the guy to be healthy.
I think I read somewhere that if he had gotten the surgery initially, he would have been out for, I think, 18 months or something like that.
Wow.
Year and a half. So it would have been a Stone Cold situation where he had surgery on his neck and was out for a year.
Yeah.
At least out of the ring, you know. They could still have him on Raw.
Yeah.
Just not in a wrestling capacity.
I'd be totally fine with it. I mean, you want the guy to be healthy, and I've always felt anyways that it was always kind of beneficial for guys to be gone for a long time anyways. And then when they come back, they're bigger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it kind of did that. They kind of worked for Stone Cold that way.
Yeah. And also, you know, just for his long-term personal health, you got to keep that in mind, you know?
Right. Exactly. It would just be a shame. I mean, I don't know. Like you always want, you prefer people to, as human beings and as people who appreciate the entertainment that these individuals are providing us and understanding the history that, you know, the horrible history of wrestlers dying early and et cetera, you want them to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it's sad to see like an Edge situation where the dude retires, you know, I'm not going to say it as prime, but certainly like, you know, he was on a hot streak. The dude was in the main event.
Yeah.
That's a bummer, and it's surprising, and it's pretty shocking these days when you think that medically anything can be done and anything can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're dealing with somebody's neck. You don't fuck around with that.
Yeah, when you're dealing with nerves and necks and spinal columns, you don't want to mess with that at all.
Right. So it'd be a shame if he had to retire, but it's like, man, I would rather, as a human being, him retire and have a happy life than him continue to perform like a, you know, an injured monkey and entertain us all until he's paralyzed.
Exactly.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
So what does the future hold? Unknown. Hopefully he does. I mean, he seems like the kind of guy who would be fine. He seems like the kind of guy, kind of like Punk, who would be fine walking away from the business if it was for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't seem nearly as bitter as Punk. And Brian's been going at it for a long time.
Yeah,
now.
He's what, 30? He's in his mid-30s already.
Yeah, he's around our age, I think.
So he's at least a good dozen years, you would think.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope the best. I think you're right about Extreme Rules. And I think it makes me wonder, Bad News Barrett laid out The Miz with like a 2-second bullhammer on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually pretty funny. And so it made me wonder if that was sort of foretelling what's going to happen with Daniel Bryan. Like maybe there'll be just a distraction from Sheamus. He'll turn around and get a bullhammer to the head, and that'll be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably the safest way to write him off. But we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. You know, dirt sheets aren't always right.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
You know, it seems to be the case right now anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think anybody saw him coming. When he came back for WrestleMania, when he made his big announcement, none of the dirt sheets predicted that a week in advance.
You know? No. Even if I think just as, you know, before he came back at Royal Rumble, I think even 2 weeks before, there was a lot of reports on the dirt sheets that, you know, he wasn't even close to returning to ring
action.
Right,
exactly. So. Moving on. Now it's time for...
Raw cap.
Well, you can sigh all you want, as long as you say the words that need to be said. We all do. We all have jobs around here. That's your job.
Raw cap.
Raw cap.
Did you watch Raw yet?
Yeah. Well, I saw the Hulu version.
Oh, okay.
I was totally okay with it. Like I'm these days, like probably just the Hulu version, but I'm actually pretty okay with Raw these days. I don't know if it's just because Rollins is in the main event or
it's
what.
It's because you're only watching half of the actual show.
That's probably that too. But I mean, think about this. We had a good match between Neville and Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of Neville.
Yeah.
And so whenever he comes out, it's kind of fun. And Ziggler's always awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What does this bring back Brock? What is,
we'll
I didn't
get to
catch
that.
The beginning of it.
No, I mean, there is no mention of, well, there was a mention
oh,
of Brock.
Okay.
This is just something speaking to the quality of Raw ever since Lesnar left.
Oh, I don't know. I've been okay with it.
It's, I mean, it's okay, but you, this the all through the
You didn't like the Kane. I
no no. Everything with Seth was great. I love Seth.
Yeah,
you know that we both are
yeah,
huge Seth
yeah,
fans.
Yeah. I love the Kane stuff with him. And you're right. I think there's a different perspective when it comes to the Hulu stuff.
Yes,
because you do get half it. I didn't get any of the filler matches. I know it did. Did like the primetime players fight or something?
No, they had
know.
another interview segment.
See, I think I missed that. That bums me out.
Yeah.
Did something happen at the beginning where they said what, like Brock's actual length of suspension?
No, they just had Cole back on and they were asking him about his quote unquote injuries.
Oh, okay. I don't care.
That was it. That was the only mention of Brock, I believe.
Okay.
But everything with Seth was great.
I know.
He's
I love it. Yeah, I know. I do hope. I wish they would start booking him a bit stronger, though.
Oh, yeah. At a certain point, they're going to have him win a match clean.
Even if it's a continuation of beating, like he beat Neville cleanly.
Yeah.
And even if it's a continuation of that to show, hey, you know what, this guy deserves to be in the main event scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then he uses his craftiness and the J&J stuff to sort of put him over the top to keep him as champion. I'm okay with that kind of heel.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But if he was ever in danger of losing to a mid-carder like Neville, then that bugs the shit out of
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
I hate that stuff. So give him some clean victories, maybe over Neville, over Ziggler would be good. A couple other guys that are sort of, you know, up there and hot. And then, you know, continue to do his heel things where
yeah.
he cheats also.
Yeah.
And I'd be super happy with that. The Kane, I love whenever Raw can tell a mini story within the show.
Yeah.
I think that's when it's strongest. And so the Kane, you know, be a man and, you know, sack up, that kind of thing. I thought that was really well done.
Oh, the whole segment in the ring with Kane and Rollins was really well done, too.
It was really well done. Great storytelling there. Daniel Bryan coming up to Kane. All those little vignettes mm-hmm. where people would go up to Kane and say, "What's your deal, Big Show?" I thought all that stuff was really, really good.
Yeah, it was.
Anything else? I'm trying to think what else.
The end segment with Rollins and J&J in their Lazy Boy chairs was fantastic.
That was great. That was fantastic.
That was so funny.
I don't know if they planned it, but when Orton threw Rollins back onto the chair and he sort of springboarded off it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that, but it was really well done.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was funny.
It was pretty funny.
So that was good stuff. I also loved Jamie Noble's little bit where he's just completely overacting. Wait a second. Kane was the one
yeah.
who got all us in this spot. Why do I have to play down? That was great. They make good stooges. They really do.
They do. I only mentioned the bring back Brock thing just because whenever even just the possibility that he can be on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
It just makes the whole night a little more...
there's more tension. It's
electrifying.
Scary. Yeah, it's scary, man. That guy's terrifying.
So that's it. And I think it's that element that's kind of missing from the show right now.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. But, you know, it was funny, though, when he was there, like, during the lead-up to WrestleMania, that was kind of my problem. Was like, when he was there, he didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Except mug for Heyman. So I'm actually... I have a little bit of Heyman fatigue, I think.
Yeah.
Because you just heard him talk so much about Roman Reigns' family that I'm actually kind of okay with him being gone for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see if they stick somebody with Heyman again.
Yeah, you know, it seems a long time to keep Heyman off TV if the plan is to keep Lesnar suspended until SummerSlam. So
yeah, a couple. Yeah, they can go a couple months, I think.
Yeah.
That's Raw. That's Raw for this week.
Yeah.
I watched SmackDown, too. Nothing really of note happened there. It was, but, you know, it was the kind of thing. It was on Hulu. It was a fun show. I did it while I did the dishes and cleaned the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool. Neville fought Sheamus. That's the only thing I really remember. I didn't watch the main event.
No.
So that's Raw. That's Raw, Cap.
Yeah. Raw, Cap.
Raw, Cap. There you go. Just a quick little note here. More WWE news. Austin, who seems to be doing his best to deflate these rumors,
yeah,
but apparently there is some legal heat between him and the WWE.
Yeah, well,
what's going on there?
Let's go back a bit and talk about the previous heat that Stone Cold had to dispel.
Right.
The idea that there was heat between him and WWE due to something about, well, there was rumors that he was supposed to be at WrestleMania, which he said weren't true, but right. WWE had a problem with his line of questioning the Triple H during his podcast on the network, particularly the China segment. Right. And he also dispelled that, said, nope, not true. So he seemed to put out that fire pretty quickly, and then this report popped up that WWE sent a cease and desist to his t-shirt shop to, I guess I would assume, stop running certain designs.
Right, which is bogus. Now I looked on there yesterday, and it looked like there is one with his address, his fictional address of 316 Gimmick Street. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that just says "what" on it with like his sort of Shepherd Fairy-ized face. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, that's sort of a bummer.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the deal. I mean, if this is my thing, if this entire thing, and again, this is all according to the dirt sheets, if this entire issue, the WWE can be really petty sometimes, really petty sometimes. If this entire thing had to do with Stone Cold's podcast question about China, which I kind of have a hard time believing.
Yeah,
but also,
I guess another thing, too, is they offered him to host Tough Enough again, which he apparently didn't have time in his schedule for, so he declined.
Yeah.
And so apparently that's another quote-unquote issue between the two parties.
Ah, it's so annoying. It's like, you know what? If you find a time that works for him, and then and we don't know. We have no idea what the real stories are, what the actual sides are.
Not at all.
But the WWE does have sort of a history of being very petty when it comes to certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, I off the top of my head, I remember when Alberto Del Rio was fired or let go, whatever they, however they referred to it. And then they tweeted out, they let their social media guy tweet out something about Alberto Del Rio and the real story, blah, blah, blah. And then they never retracted it. They never said anything. And apparently the guy had said something racist to him, and that spurred Alberto Del Rio to punch him or slap him or whatever. And that's why he was let go. That kind of shit.
Yeah.
You are literally a global brand. You're a billion-dollar company. Why the pettiness?
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It really is.
Suing CM Punk for defamation. I mean, I guess that's more the doctor's thing, but I don't know. There's pettiness involved, and it's ugly to see, and it's unprofessional, and it's off-putting. Austin is arguably I guess he was literally their biggest moneymaker ever. I don't get it. I really don't.
No, I don't either.
It's annoying, and the fact that Austin has seemed to remain so professional about things thus far, and try to keep the dirt on the down low, is a testament to what kind of person he's ended up becoming.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because apparently he ran through some rough times after his retirement, and it's great to see where he's at now. You know, he seems to be in a healthy, happy place. So all the best to Steve Austin. I actually, in my cart, I went to Pro Wrestling Tees, and in my cart, I have a Stone Cold shirt. I forget which one it was. Too many of them had like designs that are like go from like the neckline all the way down. And
oh,
I hate
yeah.
those ones.
Yeah.
So I found there was one that it looked like an STP, like the auto logo, but it says BSR, Broken Skull Ranch.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one before.
So I've got that in my cart. And I might purchase that just to show some support. I might go to onit.com and get some brain.
Get some alpha brain.
Alpha brain to support him. Anyways, now it's time for the gorilla position. This is when we debate timeless wrestling
historical
points,
stuff,
historical perspectives of stuff.
And with Extreme Rules coming up, we thought, hey, let's talk about some of the most extreme wrestlers ever.
Yes, exactly. And you have a good list here going. Right here, we'll just go off your list for now,
okay,
and then we'll narrow it down and see who the most extreme one is.
Okay.
I think I've got probably three that I'm looking at. You got Mick Foley, of course, is sort of the most mainstream.
The hardcore icon, yes.
The hardcore icon. Probably the only millionaire of the bunch, too.
Yeah, potentially.
I would think. Terry Funk.
Another hardcore legend.
Talk about hurting when you watch the guy go.
Yeah.
That really, it hurts to see him go. Let's see here. Necro Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably, in my opinion, the most extreme name on the list.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that is a great name, Necro Butcher. New Jack, who I think in real life, like outside of the ring, probably number one because he's literally killed people.
How many did he justifiable homicides?
I want to say six.
That sounds right. That wasn't Beyond the Mat, right? He mentioned that.
Yeah. I think it was Beyond the Mat. So many. A lot of dead people. But that's all I'm going to say. Because his tag team partner from the days of yore, Mustafa, we've seen him wrestle up close and personal.
He wrestles locally,
Locally in a gym, this is the name I've never heard of. Tarzan Goto.
Yeah, he founded an extreme federation in Japan. I'm only familiar with him a little bit because remember that tape of Foley's Japanese tour I had where he did all the death matches?
Yeah, sure.
Tarzan Goto was in a couple of them, and I read up on him.
I figured there'd be some Japanese guys that I did not know at all. And so this is probably, the representative. From
and I read up on him a bit, and he did some messed up stuff.
Ooh. Here's one near and dear to our heart, because we got to see perhaps one of his most extreme performances live, again, up close and personal, Supreme, who is probably the least known name on this list.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't even have his own Wikipedia entry.
Really?
I don't believe so. Could be wrong about that. Maybe it was the other guy. Maybe it was Kid Chaos. I think Kid Chaos has a Wikipedia entry and Supreme doesn't. I forget which one it was. Tommy Dreamer, the innovator of violence. Yeah. Still going at it these days. He's a great... You heard his Stone Cold
podcast.
Yeah,
we listened to it in the car together.
God, he's good.
He is good.
And the thing that I love about him is that he's such a nerd for wrestling.
Yeah.
He eats, breathes, sleeps it. Abdullah the Butcher. Probably medically speaking.
Yeah.
The most hardcore guy because he has Hep C.
And he's,
according to Billy Graham, I guess.
Yeah, I think, and another guy.
That's right, another guy. That's
that tried
right,
out for
yeah.
WWE and got denied because he had Hep C, and he thought he got it from Abdul the Butcher. ESPN did a story on that, I think.
Oh, yeah, well, then there's got to be some. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Sabu. From ECW, who definitely extreme and also seemed really extreme sort of in real life. All right, so.
Top three.
I'm going to say top. No, I don't know anything about Tarzan Goto, so you tell me, should he be top three?
He should be in consideration, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say no to Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm going to say just because. I think there's three more hardcore guys. No to Sabu.
Yeah.
I'll say no to Supreme because he's not as prolific as the others.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll put it, there's a difference between being an extreme hardcore wrestler and just willing to do stupid shit.
Yeah.
There's a line there. You set yourself on fire, not a hardcore wrestler. You're not necessarily a hardcore wrestler, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll take Supreme out of it. Supreme never drew money.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I would take out Abdul the Butcher because he just bled.
Okay, that's fine.
And made other people bleed.
You're right. Yeah. Because he was fat anyway. He can't do much.
Here, I'll the Wikipedia entry for Tarzan Goto. Here's a couple notable. Accomplishments, if you
okay.
He's the founder of the pioneering hardcore wrestling promotion Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling in Japan.
Okay.
He's an innovator too. In August 1990, he had the first ever exploding barbed wire match.
Okay.
He held the Brass Knuckles Tag Team Championships, several death matches for said or for the championship belt, Brass Knuckles as well.
Yeah.
You know when the your federation's titles are called Brass Knuckle Championships.
That's pretty hardcore.
This is funny, or not funny, but interesting. Due to windy conditions, he had a tag match lined up between the original Sheik and Sabu that was called off in 1992. It was supposed to be a fire death match, but because it was too windy, they couldn't do it.
Jesus.
So.
All right, I'm going to look at one thing here really quick. Let's see here. I'm going to see. I'm just going to. Let's. Looking at some footage here.
Of
Tarzan Goto versus Sabu. Tarzan Goto is kind of a chubbier guy, huh? Bigger guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this may be out of ignorance, but I think I have my three.
Okay.
And it comes down to this. I'm going to say Mick Foley and Terry Funk, because they're so closely related in the wrestling world. I'm going to say one of those has to go, and I'm going to say it's Mick Foley.
Interesting.
Because Terry Funk has been doing it longer, just as hardcore as Mick Foley, maybe even more hardcore. But Terry Funk's been doing it longer. And I think Mick Foley, just because he was more mainstream than any of these guys, doesn't necessarily make him the most extreme.
Okay, no, I understand that.
He's the biggest name, but I would take him off the list just because him and Terry Funk are sort of a 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
But Terry Funk, I think, deserves the nod over
him.
I would say the middle three there would be my. It would be Terry Funk, Necro Butcher, and New Jack.
Okay.
That would be my top three. New Jack, I think the reason why New Jack had just the perfect amount of mainstream-ish qualities.
Yeah.
He was a wrestler. He didn't give a fuck in the ring. I think more than anybody else, he didn't. He took that kid, Mass Transit, and bled him like a stuck pig. And that's fucked up. His story about when he went up on the scaffolding with
the Vic Grimes.
I think it was Vic Grimes.
Yeah.
And Vic Grimes didn't want to go, and New Jack said, no, we're going. And ended up damn near killed himself.
Yeah.
Talking about all this right now makes me think New Jack might be number one. I'm not aware enough of Necro Butcher's stuff, but I've seen enough of his stuff to know that he's a crazy ass motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
And he really doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
I just think that New Jack gives even less of a shit. And Terry Funk's just been doing it for so damn long and hasn't stopped and hasn't given up that it's hard to discount him. I would say that's my three. I would say probably New Jack takes it number one for me.
Number one? Okay. I wouldn't argue with that.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the most extreme wrestler ever, according to us.
Yeah.
Now, it's time for the ultimate wrestling trivia, wrestling knowledge challenge.
That's right.
Kayfabe Corner.
It's my turn.
It's your turn. Now, we should give a little bit of backstory. Earlier in the week when we weren't sure if this podcast was even going to happen this week.
Yeah, my original list.
Your original list.
I read that to you, and you got 6 out of 12, correct?
That is correct. I got 6 out of 12, which doesn't come anywhere near
the 10 out of 12 that I got last week.
The 10 out of 12 that you did last, but it's such a fluke. So this week I'm going to help myself a little bit. You're not watching my broadcast right now, and you're not here to give me shit. I'm putting on Sting Mask.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Are you ready?
I am ready.
See, part of me wanted to just redo the list we did earlier in the week and see if you could even top 6 out of 12.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, first.
Okay.
The Canadian.
Oh, you wanted to do the same list.
At first I did, yeah, just to see how it would go.
Oh, yeah, it probably would do worse.
Number one, the Canadian.
Mask is not helping me.
No,
at all.
No,
I got to take it off. It's killing me right now.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The Canadian Wolfman.
True.
Yeah.
Real. Okay.
Keep tabs of your score.
Okay.
Number two, Buster Moore.
Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number three, Wolf Hockfield.
Fake.
Real.
Damn it. I was going to say that.
Number four, Reggie Bennett.
Fake.
Real.
Damn it.
Number five, Brock Horner.
God, that sounds so damn fake, but I'm going to say real.
Fake.
Ah! There's a reason to sound fake.
Uh-huh. Tarzan Tyler.
Fake.
Real.
Damn it. I've only got two. What's next?
Beautiful Bobby Boone.
Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next one.
Because beautiful Bobby Eaton. It was beautiful was preceded Bobby Eaton, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Next one.
Okay.
The Calculus.
Oh God. Okay. Okay. Hold on. The Calculus.
Yeah.
All right, man. I know this is fake, but I'm going to say real.
It's fake, man. Come on.
Damn it!
Why would AB be called, the calculus?
I don't know, because wrestling is that weird. Is that all of them?
No, there's four more.
Okay.
Do you have three?
I've got three, so I can go for seven.
Wow. Mr. Muscle Dave Mann.
Mr. Muscle Dave Mann. How many N's are in his last name?
Two. What does that matter?
Mr. I was seeing your poker face.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Muscle Dave Mann. Real.
Fake.
Fuck me.
Abe Schwartz.
Oh god, Abe Schwartz. It's gotta be real.
Yeah, it's Steve Lombardi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, it's one of his other characters, Brooklyn Brawler.
Okay.
David Jericho.
Fake.
Real.
Damn it.
Last one.
Okay.
Cadet Connors.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it.
Did you get five or four?
I got four. Oh,
man.
Here, that was pathetic.
Here, let's redo the other ones we did.
Okay.
Because I really like those.
All right.
I have to find them first. Oh, here it is. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Last time we got 6 out of 10.
Six out of 12.
Biff Boone.
Yeah, I don't remember. Biff Boone is fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little Beaver.
Little Beaver. Fake.
Real.
Damn it.
Yukon Gold.
Fake.
Yeah. You said it was real the first time. Yukon Gold's a potato.
That's right.
Toots Mond.
Toots Mond. Fake.
Real.
Damn.
Hold on a second. How many have you gotten?
You got two.
Okay. Five Star Ninja.
Shit. Yeah, I don't remember any of these. Real.
Yeah.
Okay.
James Dudley.
Real.
Mm-hmm. Paul Dick.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it.
Rad Machine.
That's real.
Fake.
Oh, fuck.
How many do you have?
Four.
Beef Wellington.
Fake.
Real.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I was surprised the first time, too.
Yeah, he's an ECW guy.
Oops.
Gentleman Grayson Butler.
Fake.
Yeah. The Widowmaker.
Real.
Yeah. Tarzan Torres.
Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many did you get?
Seven.
Oh, okay. Good job.
I guess I got one more. And I think they were all different from what I got last time.
Close.
Four of them anyways. Yeah. All right. Well, that was good. Oh, man. I got to stump you next time.
Yeah.
I got to stump you. I got to get you to like 2 out of 12.
Not going
to
happen.
If I do that, I feel redeemed.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, that's our show for the week. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back. We'll see when we'll be back next week. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, at some point. Definitely.